It's not uncommon after game day to hear in confession someone say, "Father, I was shouting profanities at people I don't even know." Okay, we'll stop that. I mean, you might be familiar with some of the chants that are sometimes said with much gusto in the direction of the other side of the stadium or at the team down playing below. Not things that we can repeat in the context of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we'll just say that. And by the way, if you're not confessing that sin, it's definitely one worthy of confessing. This is called the us versus them mentality in like social psychology. The fact that human beings are so social, and they desire to be a part of a group. It's so important for them to belong, to have a sense of identity with others, not to be alone, that anyone who's not a part of that group is, interestingly enough, judged harshly. Even without knowing them, talking to them, they're judged as enemies, outsiders, them. They're not a part of us. And it's explained, I guess, in psychology that this is just a natural part of our minds, our brains. We like to define things either safe or enemy to protect ourselves. It helps us, you know, with survival. But we as Christians know that's not it. At least it's not just a social survival like mechanism. Because we know God created us to be one in Him, all of us together, united with Him, ultimately in heaven forever. And baptism actually achieves this for us. We're united as one in Christ, the church. And so the devil doesn't like that. People united, usually a lot stronger, praying for each other. God's grace flows a lot more freely. And so he thwarts that. And so why do we love to be members of groups? Because that's what we're made for. It's written in our very biology, our psychology. We're made to be united. We love to be with others. But the devil thwarted that. Sin broke that. And so we now judge people based off of relatively insignificant criteria. Like what team they root for. Or what mass they go to. Or what kind of music they like. Or politics and their views. Things like that that are relatively meaningless when you consider that every human being is created in the image of likeness of God. And especially if we're Christians, we're united in Christ by our baptism. You know, how foolish of us to hate others, to judge others without first, like, at least getting to know them, when we know we share so much, just as human beings, especially those of us who are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've been dealing with this ever since the beginning. You heard in the book of Numbers, everyone's favorite book to read, the daily devotions. Moses is there, and God shares his spirit, not just on Moses now, but upon 70 elders, and they're prophesying. And all of a sudden, they're like, wait, those guys over there, they're prophesying too. They're not with us. Moses, stop them. You see that us and them already there. And then in the gospel, the people are casting out demons in Jesus' name. Like, this is awesome, right? But the apostles are like, no, they're not with us. Jesus, stop that nonsense. Those guys over there, them, they're not with us. And in both cases, that erroneous, sinful ideal of us versus them is called out and condemned. Because God doesn't operate in an us versus them mentality. It's either you're with God or not. He doesn't really focus so much on all these superficial differences. He says, I created all of you, man and woman, in my image. So I love all of you. And then he welcomes us into his family. And so those of us who are baptized, he says, come, be one with me. And don't judge others. Don't condemn others who are not yet one with us. But know that I can even work mysteriously in their hearts. Even those who I've not yet poured my spirit on, we're still created with that desire for God, and God works mysteriously in that. And this should actually motivate us to go out to others even more and draw them in, knowing that God's already working in so many mysterious ways, in extraordinary ways we don't know. Because the sad fact is, sometimes even as Christians, we put on an exterior face or we advertise that if you don't believe what we believe, then you're not welcome here. You're not loved. I think of a story when I first got here. It was like the first month. There were three guys walking up from High Street, dressed very, very effeminately. And they called out to me, "Hey, nice dress." I was wearing my cassock. I think they just wanted to mock me and keep on going, but oh, no, no, no. If you give Father Zabo an opportunity to come witness to Christ's love to you, he's coming over. So I'm like, "Hey, guys." Walk on over there. And at that moment, they realized their mistake. We had a wonderful conversation. I just asked them, "Hey, what are your names? I'm Father Zabo. And thanks for commenting. This is a cassock, by the way. I know it looks like a dress. It's not." And it wasn't very long before the beginning of that conversation when one of the guys said, "Well, don't you guys hate us?" Like, "No. Why do you think that Catholics hate you?" And I'm like, "Well, we're gay," they said. I would say they struggle with same-sex attraction. I was like, "We don't hate you." Like, now I was clear, like, we don't agree with how you're living your life. Like, I believe full-heartedly that anyone who acts on same-sex attraction or desires, like, will not find in that what their hearts desire. But we don't hate you. Actually, we love you, and that's why we want to talk with you. We want you to come, to come to Mass, to see what it's about, to come and meet with me and talk about, like, why we believe what we believe. Like, we love you, and that's why we want to do that. That's actually why we bother explaining what we believe about human sexuality and all the other moral teachings, because we love people too much to let them go in sin and just be lost and to never find what their hearts are yearning for. So we had a very nice conversation. By the end of it, they were like, "Man, thanks, Father Zabo. Like, I'm going to come to Mass. I'm gonna call you. You gave me the number. We're going to meet." It hasn't happened yet. But at least they know, like, this stuff about, like, Catholics hating people who have same-sex attraction or people who are dealing with transgender dysphoria or anything. Anyone who doesn't do what we teach, we love you. We don't hate you just because you're sinning. We're all sinners. One of them was like, "Yeah, we're not welcome in the church." I was like, "If you're not welcome in this church, I'm not welcome in this church." Like, we all struggle with sins. Some of our sins are a little more obvious. Some of us can hide our sins. But we're all in this together. And that alone should remind us, like, oh, that's right. We're all in this journey in life together. We all struggle with sin. And we're trying to find the truth. Like, that enough should show us, like, we shouldn't hate or judge other people or shout profanities at them. Because that just makes it harder for us to find what we're really desiring. And especially for us as Christians and Catholics in particular who enjoy the fullness of the faith, if we're not showing others that, like, no, we love you regardless, unconditionally, of who you are, what you look like, what you do, because we have the truth, and we want you to share in that. We want you to come and be in union with us one day to grow and discover what we have. So I invite you to think, who are the thems in your life right now? Who are the people that you just don't want to talk to? You shy away from them. People who here's a good one, if you're ever going on a rant about someone or something, those are the thems. Think about that. Who are the people, the groups, institutions who the devil has convinced you is a them? They're not worthy of the same respect and human dignity. And bring them to our Lord today as you come receive communion. It's here where we profess our desire to be in union with one another in God, in communion, and ask our Lord, "Help me. Help me with this division that I've allowed the devil to put in my heart against other beloved sons and daughters of yours, other men and women made in your image and likeness." And ask our Lord to help you be a bridge to that community. whoever it is. You know, and I want to be very clear. We're not to go out and say, like, what you're doing is okay to everyone. No. If we do that, no one will draw closer to the union that God wishes to have with us. We go out to everyone and we say, I love you, and I want to talk to you about how what your heart's yearning for is found here. Think about that. That's what our Lord wants. That's what he was trying to tell his disciples. That's what Moses was helping the people to realize. Like, we're in this together. And God calls us, especially those who have the fullness of the truth, to bring others closer and closer to that fullness, that full union in baptism in the Catholic Church, we ask, so that one day we'll all maybe be in heaven and have found that we brought a lot of other people along with us.